Opinions expressed in this episode are personal. They do not necessarily reflect the views of this streaming platform.
Good day, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Let's Be Diverse. I am your host, Andrew Stout. This episode is dedicated to all my loved ones who have supported me through this journey. Those who have left us will always be in our hearts and will never be forgotten. Today, we're going to be talking about willpower versus why power. My guest today to help us through this is going to be Jen Manarelli. Welcome to the show, Jen. So happy to have you on here today.
Hey, Andrew, so glad to be your guest. Thank you for asking me.
You are super welcome. I'm happy to have you on here today. How are things with you? What's going on in your world? Give us the tea, give us the deets, give us it all. What's going on?
Well, I am in a season of change right now. I'm making lots of shifts and adjustments. My husband and I, we just celebrated 25 years of marriage. And then we entered the empty nest season. So we've got two girls and they're both in out of state schools, which has been an adjustment not having either of them home all the time. Yeah. Just getting to see them kind of here and there on the weekends. I'm going to make short trips to visit them has been really fun and interesting. But I've been super busy coaching some really amazing women all over the U.S. I'm leading lots of yoga classes here in person, reading some really great books, doing several Bible studies, getting lots of walks with my sweet dog, Hazel. And I might just have to send you a picture of her because she's so cute. Aww. And when I'm walking her, I'm always listening to podcasts. And I have inserted yours into my faves and have been listening to lots of those lately.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you so much. And I got to say, congratulations on 25 years of marriage and congratulations on the empty nest part. I'm sure it's a different phase for you guys now with not having the kids around. I just spoke to a guest of mine who her husband just retired way, way back. And she was saying that he's retired, but sometimes they drove each other crazy. So they needed a little bit of a break from each other sometimes. So because they were just empty nesters and it was just the two of them. So I ended up going to get a part-time job to work on the weekends. So she now has her Saturdays to herself, quiet house to do whatever she wants. If she wants to work, she wants to watch a movie, whatever she wants to do at home, it's hers. So I'm sure it's different for you too.
Yes. Yes, it absolutely is. It's definitely an adjustment, but we're getting used to it. And I wouldn't be surprised if one day when he does retire, he's going to need a part-time job too. He won't be able to stay home all the time.
Well, sure, because he probably will have the what they call the honey-do list. So
that's
he
right.
Might be like, I don't want to have these honey-do lists anymore. I want to do my own stuff. So yeah, he might decide that he needs to go find a part-time job.
That's exactly right.
Well, thanks for sharing that story with me. Again, congratulations on the 25 years of marriage. That is awesome. And congratulations on the empty nest home. I'm sure it's pretty cool. Before we begin, Jen, or before we get into the meat and bones of this conversation, I always have a fun, thought-provoking question for my guests to get things going. Are you ready for yours today?
I am. I'm a little scared, but I'm ready.
I'm sure you'll do great. So my question for you is, if you had the opportunity to get a message across to a large group of people, what would your message be?
What would my message be? Wow, it probably would be to get healthy. And that's because, I mean, obviously what I do is help people to get healthy, but you know, you only get one body while you're here on this earth. And, you know, if it starts breaking down and you need replacement parts or, you know, you need repairs, it's very expensive and it's not always guaranteed. Taking care of your body and your health is so huge and it impacts every area of your life, your relationships, your work, your home, everything. So I would say, take care of your body and your health.
I would say that's a pretty good message. And I would say there's a lot of people and a lot of our listeners, I'm sure that would probably agree with that and feel very strongly about that. So I love it. Like you said, we only have one life on earth. We have to enjoy it. You mentioned your family and your girls. You can't do the things that you want to do if you're unhealthy. So super important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Super important. Well, that was a great answer. Thank you so much for having fun with me here. Why don't we get this thing going here and you start off with you telling us a little about yourself, your story, and your why.
Okay. All right. Well, as I mentioned before, I am a certified health, nutrition, and mindset coach. I've been in this whole health and fitness and wellness industry for about 28 years. So if you do the math, I was 2 when I started, right?
That's about right.
So, but in all seriousness, my passion for fitness, it really started back in high school and college. I was very active. I danced. I was a runner. I did a little bit of weightlifting. And I really enjoyed it. I found great enjoyment in moving my body and staying fit and well. And I never really had any health concerns or issues. And then after college, I started in the corporate setting at a Fortune 500 company. And it didn't take long. I started to feel the stress, obviously the long hours. I was making poor food choices because I was stressed and working a lot. And because of that, I also was getting minimal activity in. And I didn't feel so great. I started to feel kind of bad, kind of crappy, tired all the time, and just turning to convenience foods. And it wasn't a good setup. So, you know, I did what everyone else would do. I joined a gym and I started lifting weights and taking classes. And, you know, this was 30 years ago. So it was before you could just do YouTube workouts and pull out your phone and follow an app or whatever. So being in person, going to the classes, and I fell in love with fitness classes. They were fun and encouraging, and I just really, really enjoyed it and thought, I think I could do this. So I decided to get certified and start teaching, and fell in love with teaching and leading others. And it was more than just leading the class, but it was talking with members and students before and after class about their goals and about their health and their wellness. And I really took great pride in helping them, and I really enjoyed it, and I learned a lot from them through the process. And, you know, during those years, I continued in my corporate job full-time, and then I was teaching classes part-time, kind of moved all around. We lived in the Carolinas for a while, and then we moved to Mexico for a short season. All the while, I kept teaching fitness classes. I even had to teach fitness classes in Spanish for a little bit, and I wasn't very fluent. So sometimes that went well, sometimes it didn't go well, depending on what I said and how it was translated. But it was very funny and fun. We also moved two more times to two other U.S. border towns, and I kept teaching there. But at that point, I chose to step away from the corporate setting. So I was just teaching classes. It was when we decided we were going to start a family, and we really were following my husband's career at that point in time. So I also started dabbling in a little personal training in that season, and found that was even more fun because I was one-on-one and helping women and, you know, some men come to their goals and reach their goals through activity and, you know, just motivating them, encouraging them, and helping them out. And then it was about that time that we did have our two girls, and it was challenging being so far from home. We were all the way out in El Paso, Texas, and we decided to move back to where all the family was, which is Louisville, Kentucky. And we've been here ever since. All through all of this, I've stayed in the fitness and health industry, and I have even started teaching yoga at that point. And then I kind of missed the corporate setting a little bit, but I didn't really want to go back full time yet because my girls were still little. So I dabbled in some corporate contract work, and I was also on my church staff for several years. This was all like pre-COVID, and I was still teaching a few classes a week as well. Just again, I continue to really love working with women and helping them reach their goals. So what I noticed though, through all those years is that many women, although they could really crush their fitness goals in the gym and, you know, complete those 5Ks and, you know, do so many classes a week and all of that, they were really struggling with their nutrition and really struggling to meet like their overall health and wellness goals. And I knew there was more to it than just showing up at the gym. I didn't know a lot about nutrition, but thought, hey, this might be the other piece of the puzzle that's missing. So I started working in the nutrition area and got my coaching certification. Worked for one of those big box health coaching companies. And after just a short period of time, I realized that I didn't agree with their coaching approach. And it really felt like their goals were more temporary fixes, like how they approach the client and their food philosophies, very much of a diet culture type setting versus a sustainable lifestyle change, which is, you know, the long-term focus, which I really wanted to help people do. So I left and I decided it was time to become an entrepreneur. And that's when I started offering health coaching virtually. And ever since, I've been helping lots of women. I've helped hundreds of women now. And so the fitness, the personal training, the yoga, the nutrition, all that was very helpful, but there was still one piece missing, and that was the mindset piece. Really trying to understand what was keeping people from doing what they knew they should be doing and what they really wanted to do. So mm-hmm. I got the certification in health mindset coaching, and that has been a game changer. And then I think you asked too, like my why. I would say for many, many years, probably even decades, I fell into that same diet culture trap that so many people do. And I tried everything from whatever the newest fad diet was at the time, you know, the latest and greatest supplements, the magic pills, whatever the most popular fitness program was that was being advertised on TV, you know, that guaranteed you the best results, like all that stuff. I tried it all. I'm constantly looking for the next quick fix versus really understanding that I needed a long-term solution. So I grew weary. I grew frustrated. You know, when life got hard or busy or stressful, and especially when my kiddos were sick, when they were little, they needed so much more time and attention. You know, it was tough. And I too would fall into some of the, you know, all or nothing thinking, and then I would turn back to bad habits. And so this cycle was kind of on repeat for many, many, many years. And the reason I do what I do is because I don't want women to continue in that same pattern. That's what diet culture speaks and preaches, is just, you know, try this. And then when that doesn't work, try this. And I'm done with that. And I want other women to be done with that. I really want them to feel their best and, you know, go for their goals, reach their goals, and then be able to maintain their goals once and for all, and have that true lifestyle change.
Jen, I love your story. What comes out at me in your story is when you talk about working in your corporate setting and your corporate contract work, and even your health and fitness work, it makes me think of the corporate world right now today. And specifically what it makes me think of is the people that are working those extra hours a day so that they can finish their work. So they're still supposed to work from an 8 to 4 and they're staying till 5:30 or 6 o'clock at night. Or they're doing the 4-day work week. But yet if you're not finished your stuff and you know you're going to be off, then you're going to be spending extra time to make sure that everything is done so that you can have your Friday or your Monday off or whatever day you have off. So for me, what you're doing is super important because it is something that people have to remember, that they do have to do stuff for themselves and make sure that not only their workouts, not only that they're doing stuff to keep healthy, but also that they're making sure that they're eating properly as well. So if you're working those long hours, like you said, you're going to eat those things that you may not necessarily want to eat, but it's there and it's convenient for you. So you eat that, which is not the answer. We all know that. Some do it. I've done it. We've all done it. But we have to remember that it's our health and our bodies, and nobody's going to care for us better than ourselves.
That's exactly right.
Jen, let's get into the meat and bones of this here. Today we're talking about willpower versus why power. What is the difference between willpower and why power, and what causes the loss of both?
Okay. Well, first I'll preface with, you know, in light of our conversation, you know, we'll kind of be thinking of health and wellness and wanting to feel our best, especially, you know, as it impacts our performance and our productivity at work. Like you mentioned, eating healthy, you know, finding time to get activity in, even things like going to bed at a decent hour, you know, having the ability to control urges for extra special desserts and treats, and maybe even extra cocktails at that office happy hour, you know, or controlling that urge to skip your workout because you're just exhausted, maybe from the happy hour the night before. So kind of keeping all of that in mind as we're talking about willpower and why power. I would say that the definition of willpower, you know, trusty Google here tells me that it's control exerted to do something or to restrain impulses. Or said another way, it's the ability to control one's own actions, emotions, or urges. Why power is the motivational drive that comes from a deep sense of purpose or meaning behind a goal. It's the why that fuels persistence and commitment, helping you stay focused and resilient by connecting your goals to personal values and a greater sense of fulfillment. So willpower is great, and you know, we all have it when everything's going well, right? The world's full of puppies and rainbows. You've met your sales goals. You've cut your expenses, or maybe you've completed that huge marketing project and you've got time to spare. You know, that's when it's great. It's perfect. Everything's wonderful. But then the moment that life happens and, you know, that's seems to be every time we turn around, deadlines aren't met, our sales tank, expenses are off the charts, the kids are sick, you're arguing with your spouse, maybe stress is crushing you, any of those kinds of things, that's when willpower goes out the window. So good circumstances usually equal great willpower, where bad circumstances usually equal poor willpower. But with why power, you know, you have a greater chance of having that why power stick around because it's rooted deeper than your current circumstances. So willpower tends to be circumstance driven, where why power does not. I don't know if you've ever heard of Darren Hardy. He wrote the book, The Compound Effect. And in that book, he states, your choices are only meaningful when you connect them to your desires and dreams. The wisest and most motivating choices are the ones aligned with that which you identify as your purpose, your core self, and your highest values. You've got to want something and know why you want it, or you'll end up giving up too easily. And that too easily giving up is when our circumstances are bad or things just aren't easy. So most people will maintain their why power when they make this connection. And I will say that it also helps if you have a plan B for even when your why power is super strong, because you're always going to have excuses or interruptions in life that can get in your way. Come up with the common ones. You're too busy, you're too tired, you didn't have time to shop or cook, you know, you worked extra long hours, or you had a huge project due at work, or, you know, there was an office, a project or something going on and you just couldn't get to the thing that you needed to do. So what's your plan B? Maybe a 5-minute walk, a 10-minute walk is better than a nothing. That's where the why power and the plan B both can kind of come into play.
I love your explanations of both. When I agree with you, it's to control one's action. Why power, I feel, is super strong because it's something that we really want. And the reason why it kind of comes to me is because I'm a firm believer in passion, passion for what you believe in and passion for what you do or what you want to do. And if it's something that you really, really want to do, then you're going to push yourself to do it. Because it's something that you believe in, it's something that you really want. So you're going to drive yourself to get to that goal. And no one's going to tell you when you have your why power not to do it, because you just have that in your head. Like, no, it's something that I believe in and I'm going to do it. So, and again, I love your explanations, but the why power jumps out at me. Probably because I'm like that. I do have a lot of why power because I'm passionate for what I do and what I enjoy. And the things that I'm not so passionate about, I will give everything because that's just not my DNA. But I will give a way more to the things that I'm passionate about rather than the things that I'm not.
Yes, it absolutely makes sense. I think I'm that exact same way too.
So how does one reclaim will or why power back? So if they've lost it, how do they get it back?
Gotcha. So, you know, I would say with my clients, I encourage them to really focus on their why. You know, you hear it all the time. Know your why. What's your why? You know, and thus, as they focus on their why, they start to know what their why power is. Versus trying to just drum up more willpower, which again can be, you know, circumstance driven and then shot down if things aren't going well. And there's definitely different things that I do and different ways that I help and coach my clients to reclaim their why power when things go awry. For example, one would be making sure that they've tapped into their strengths. So, you know, we're all given these amazing gifts and talents, and we have our strengths that we use in different areas of our life, whether that's your career, your if you own your own business, your relationships, your family, whatever, maybe as a volunteer, you can use those same strengths in your health and wellness journey. So I'll start digging in with them, asking questions like, well, what are those greatest strengths? And then how are you currently using those strengths on your health and wellness journey? You know, for somebody maybe who's like a really solid planner, they're really good administratively, you know, they can handle and project just about anything. Even somebody who's really good in finance and numbers, like how can you take that skill, that strength and apply it to a practical piece of your health and wellness journey? Can you plan your meals a little better? Can you order meals? If you can schedule meetings all day long, you can schedule meals too, you know? So how can you use those strengths that you've been given to help you on your health and wellness journey? And then of those strengths that you have, which ones are you underutilizing or maybe not even utilizing at all? And how do we shift that? So those are some of the things that I would start with to help them reclaim and when it comes to strengths. Another thing that I do is I have my clients reframe their goals to always point back to the why. So for example, I'll say this because a lot of people come to me with the goal to lose weight. That's not the only thing I help with, but that's definitely one of the top reasons people come to me or one of the top goals that they come to me with. And, you know, they'll say like, I want to lose weight. And I'm like, okay, I'll shift in and help them reframe that to say, okay, I want to lose weight so that I can fill in the blank. Or they'll say, I want to be more active. And I'll say, okay, you want to be more active so that you can what? And we start to build some sentences and some thoughts for them to focus on. So I'll ask why. It's like peeling back the onion. Instead of just saying like, well, why do you want to lose weight? Like, what is the thing that you want to do after you lose the weight? And it's usually so I can enjoy my life or so I can live a longer, healthier life. You know, for some people, it's so I can get off medications. Others might say, so I can be more productive at work. Maybe it's so I can get a promotion at work. Maybe it's so I can be more compassionate and less irritable at work. For others, it's improved mobility, less stress on their joints. Maybe it's so that they can serve or volunteer and share their talents and treasures outside of work or outside of the home. So it's always reframing that. Why do you want to do that? So I can fill in the blank. Also, one of the tools that I use a lot is creating some bridging thoughts for that in between. My goal as a coach is to help you get you from where you are to where you want to be with whatever that health goal is. So we're always talking about thoughts and feelings because that is what creates our actions and our results. So if one of my clients says something like, Jen, I'm just not consistent, then we'll create a little bridging thought that might sound something like, in the past, I wasn't consistent and I'm learning to change that. Or maybe they would say, I am a woman who is becoming consistent. Or maybe it's possible that I can become consistent. And when we create these bridging thoughts, it really helps to change how they feel, which then, of course, fuels their actions and thus their results. So that's another way, is those bridging thoughts. And then, you know, I have two other ways that I think are really great. One is to identify what delayed gratification looks like and compare that to what instant gratification looks like and feels like. And then when you look at delayed gratification as a gift versus viewing the action that created it as a chore, you can really reclaim that why power. So an example of that might be like, you know, I don't want to go to the gym. It's just too much effort, or I'm just too tired. That's kind of that chore view. But when you shift it and you look at, if I go to the gym, the delayed gratification is that I'm going to sleep better tonight. I'm going to have more energy tomorrow. I'm going to feel better overall. I'm going to reach my goals. Like if you just change the way that you're looking at that gratification from delayed to instant, from that chore to a gift, it really can be a game changer. And then lastly, I would say stepping away from, I'm sure you've heard of all or nothing thinking. This is also known as dichotomous thinking. And if you get that feeling like if you can't do it all, then why bother doing anything, right? You know, if you can't have that perfect nutrition, that perfect workout plan, you can't drink all your water, you can't get your 8 hours of sleep, you know, all of these things that everywhere we look on the internet tells us we have to do and we have to do them perfectly, then we just feel overwhelmed and we just don't do it at all. And that doesn't get us anywhere. It would be the same as if you went to work and you had 15 different tasks and you didn't feel like you were going to be able to get any of them done or all of them done. So you just decide to sit at your desk and not do a darn thing all day long. Like it just doesn't work that way. So in the health wellness area, it might look like letting one unhealthy meal on a Friday evening with friends turn into an entire weekend of just going off the rails and being like, whatever, I'll start again on Monday. Or if you plan 4 workouts in a week and you miss the first one on day one, and then you throw in the towel and you say, well, I might as well not even bother with the others. What's the point? Mm-hmm. But I think when you've let go of that, you reclaim that why power, and then you can find the benefit in getting 3 out of 4 workouts in a week and see that that's still great. If you make a less healthy choice and immediately get right back on track with your nutrition goals, then it's like it's not the end of the world. Or maybe focusing on stress management, sleep, and hydration, even if you can't get your workouts in. So those are some just different thoughts I have on how to kind of get rid of that all or nothing thinking, or to kind of overcome that. And then when you understand the gains from your efforts and understand that they far outweigh the losses of missing one workout or eating an unhealthy meal from time to time, that's what will really help you refocus on your why power.
So many things I want to jump in there. I was kind of smiling when you're talking about reframing your goals, because, you know, in a work setting, I'm thinking of it as far as, you know, being in an organization and you're developing processes, or you're thinking of a game plan for your team or for your organization. But we have to reframe our goals. We have to think about, we can't just put stuff out there. We can't organize stuff, or we can't put processes in just to put processes in. We have to understand there's a reason for these processes, and there's a reason why we're doing them. There's a reason why we think it's better, or it's going to be better for the organization in the future. Another example would be, if you want to change your career, you have to reframe your goals. You have to just think, this is what I was doing in my last job. Is this what I really want to do? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and then kind of putting the tasks of that job that you were doing and saying, did I really enjoy doing that job? If I didn't, then we're not going to look for stuff with those tasks in the next job. We're going to look for something new that we're going to enjoy, or things that we enjoy, that things that light us up, and things that put a smile on our face and give us that why power, as you described, that going to give us that extra push and that drive that you have, and that passion that you're like waking up in the morning and you're like, let's go. Today's going to be a great day. This is what we're doing today. I can't wait. Let's do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when you have a job that you enjoy and you're in a role that, you know, pumps you up and you're excited about, then you are going to have all those other benefits in your life. You know, you're going to be happier. You know, you're going to find the joy. You're going to enjoy your relationships outside of work. Like, everything feeds off of that want and that desire, which results in that why power.
Jen, do you find that people struggle with finding their will or why power? And if so, why? Why do you think they struggle?
Yeah, I would say absolutely. Absolutely, they struggle. And the biggest reason is because we all go 90 miles an hour most of the time. You know, we're so busy and we just operate on autopilot. And then we kind of have our little secure, comfortable default mode in all the areas of our life. So, you know, if you don't pause and think about that why power, and you don't, you know, really understand, you're just going to keep doing what you've always done. You know, so the saying, nothing changes if nothing changes, is so spot on when it comes to this. We say it all the time, you know, your brain was designed to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And it's just so much easier to not try to change, or to not find that why behind why you wanted, you know, getting to that next step or that next place. But it's possible. I do see it a lot with my clients. It does take some work. You know, it takes some reflection on where you are and where you want to be. It takes some of those reframing thoughts. It takes some mindset shifts. And, you know, if you've tried before and you've failed in any of these areas, then your brain's automatically going to be seeking evidence for that same scenario to happen again. But if you pause and you look at the wins, the losses, and the lessons from your past, then you have a greater opportunity, and you won't struggle as much with finding that why power. And it could be something as simple as, I know you talked about eating healthy before, and how sometimes that can be a big challenge when, you know, you're expected to work overtime or longer hours, or your four-day, 10-hour shifts has now turned into 4 days of 10 hours and another fifth day of 8 hours. You have a tendency to turn to fast food. But if your goal has always been, I want to eat healthier, I want to pack my lunch, and you've tried it and it just didn't go so well, most people just have a tendency to give it up and say, well, I tried it and it didn't work for me. But if you look outside the box and you know, take a moment to find another way, you will find it. So trying a meal prep service, for example, to replace going out for fast food or just getting your hands on something out of the vending machine, and then you start to feel successful, and then you start to build evidence that, hey, it is possible. I can eat healthy, but I just can't do it the way I did it in the past. So that's where you're learning from those losses. That's the lesson, right? Just like a meeting or a project deadline at work or a big sales goal, like if you don't meet it, things don't go well, you don't just say, well, we tried. That's all we can do. No, you adjust, you tweak, and then you find what does work. And I would also say that I think sometimes people have forgotten how good it feels to feel good. You know, we've settled for mundane energy, lack of mental clarity, poor sleep, convenience foods, energy drinks, and Netflix binges. And then sadly, it does take some people hitting rock bottom with their health or having a horrible diagnosis for them to decide it's time to make changes. And then they find their why power, but they found it at a totally different place. And, you know, my hope is that that wouldn't be the case for everyone. I also think that some people struggle finding their why power because they really haven't made that value or goal a part of their identity. And I'm sure you're familiar with James Clear, Atomic Habits. Mm-hmm. He's probably one of my favorite authors. Mm-hmm. He says, common quote, every action you take is a vote for the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your identity. Right. So it might seem like a silly question or simple, something as simple as asking yourself, what would I do in this situation or how would I handle this? But you reframe it into the identity of the person you want to become. So, Andrew, if your goal is you want to be a healthier person, you might ask yourself in a situation where you're confronted with two options, you might say, well, what would the healthy Andrew do or choose in this situation before you make the decision? So I hope that answered that question.
It definitely did. We go 90 miles an hour and we don't pause. And that's not even just when we're working or like physical stuff. I think it's also too when we're having a conversation with somebody. You're a leader and someone comes in your office and they want to talk and they're going a mile a minute. And you want to go a mile in a minute with them, but you need to pause at some point as well, because you need to maybe they just need to vent to get it off of their chest and then they're done. But if you're going back and forth, talking back and forth, 90 miles an hour, it's just going to continue and, you know, nothing's going to change. And it's just, we're just spinning the wheel and we're just going on and on and on and on and on. There's got to be an end to it. So I love when you said the pause. I'm a firm believer in the pause. I think it's super important to pause and to make sure that we understand what the person is saying and maybe understand what they need and how you can help them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I agree with you.
If you had the opportunity to advise your 16-year-old self, Jen, what advice would you give to her? And why?
This is such a great question. It probably because I have two girls and it wasn't long ago that they were both 16. So it seems very close because I always thought about myself as a young girl as they were in their teen years, which one still is. The other one is already 20, which is mind blowing. But I would say focus on being healthy and strong because that will take you farther than anything that the diet industry has to offer. So the diet industry has promised so many things to so many people, and all it really does is just make tons and tons of money and leaves people sad and disappointed. And I see it all the time, especially with the, you know, Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. It's the constant stuff in their face and ads and influencers, and they're pushing this whole diet industry dogma. And it's very, very, very frustrating. So instead of focusing on the, you know, be skinny and all the things that you're hearing, it's, you know, no, let's focus on being healthy. You know, some of the things that make you skinny, most of the things that make you skinny, aren't necessarily healthy or good for you. And they're definitely not helping to make you strong. And that strength is so important, both physically, you know, emotionally, mentally, it's key. And then I would also say, you know, let go of any desire to compare or to compete, because, you know, when you are competing and comparing with someone, you can't be encouraging them or lifting them up at the same time. And I think that's where we fall short, especially with a lot of this influencer age stuff, is it's more beating down with the comparing, competing and judging than it is encouraging and lifting each other up.
I love that emotionally and physically. Your brain needs to be healthy so that you can be there for others and you can listen to them when they need, or like you said, you and your daughters are, as they're growing up, you need to be able to give them advice when they need, not to be like, you know, motherly and pushing stuff on them, but to be there for them when they need advice and when they need their mom and they need to hear stuff from their mom or their dad, right? So it's super important to have that healthy brain to be able to communicate and have good conversations with your family and your coworkers as well.
Yes.
Do you have any final thoughts for our guest today?
Yeah, I would say, you know, health and wellness changes can seem overwhelming for so many of us. And I think that also has to do with the internet and all the influences out there. And there's just so much information coming at us from so many different directions and so many different opinions and schools of thought. And I would just say, you know, you don't have to tackle everything all at once. You definitely don't have to, you know, like, I would just pick one thing, pick one or maybe two small things. Focus on consistency first. Don't crush that one thing. Maybe it's just drinking your, you know, 64 to 80 ounces of water a day. Focus on that. Crush it for a couple of weeks until it just becomes a part of who you are and what you do. You don't even think about it. It's like brushing your teeth. Then add one more thing. You know, maybe it's taking a walk around the block for 15 minutes every day during your lunch break, or parking farther from the building, the office building, you know, at the grocery store, whatever. Those small little habits can boost your confidence because you're going to start to feel better immediately. And then once you've built some consistency there, you can continue to add on. Then that's when you can start adding more. You can increase the frequency of your workouts or the duration, the intensity. All of those types of things are so important when we're talking about baby steps. You know, it doesn't have to be everything all at once.
I love those words. Jen, I want to take the time to thank you for coming on today. You were just such a dynamic individual. Like, I really admire you for who you are and what you stand for and the things that you're teaching, not just your family, but the people that you work with. And I feel like they're super lucky to have you as someone to look to as, because I call you a leader as well. You were teaching people how to do stuff, but you are a leader as well. And I really feel like you are a strong leader, and I feel like people are going to follow because they just resonate to your words and your kindness and your generosity and your authenticity. So I know I have as well. So I want to take the time to thank you. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here today and chat with me. And I look forward to future conversations with you, you know, down the
road. Well, thank you, Andrew. I really appreciate the ask to be on your podcast. And it's been my pleasure. And I really enjoyed getting to know you. I know you always say that your passion is building rapport. And I think you are the king of rapport building. You do it better than anyone else on, especially on LinkedIn. And I'm grateful to be, you know, in your network and to, I feel like I can call you a friend now.
Well, you don't have to feel, Jen. You are a friend. I really appreciate you and all you.
Excellent.
And all
I love you to do. Hear
so
that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, on behalf of myself and my guest, Jen, I'd like to thank you all for listening today. And until next time, be safe. And remember, everyone, that if we all work together, we can accomplish anything.
You have been listening to Let's Be Diverse with Andrew Stout. To stay up to date with future content, hit subscribe.